Working for the weekend? A shorter work week could be on the horizon. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, shares of vegan burger maker Beyond Meat closed up 163% in their Wall Street debut as investors bet on the growing popularity of plant-based foods. But why? Robert Lawson is the former CEO of Corn, that's with a Q, a company developed in the 1960s amid worries about the long-term viability of meat consumption. He explains that since then, the trend of meatless meals has taken off.
On a global basis, Corn is market leader, and it's present in many, many countries. But in other countries, you see many more products available, typically soy-based products. What we're seeing now is new technologies, which often involve new ingredients. And so with Beyond Meat, the key ingredient is a pea protein. The surge in new products is really driven by recognition of the long-term consumer trends here.
Mr. Larson explains the boom in companies offering meat alternatives is down to consumers looking for ways to reduce the environmental impact of the food they eat.
If there was a 20% reduction in meat consumption in the UK and that switched to meat alternatives, you'd see a tenfold increase, if not more, in meat alternative markets. And those kind of growth trends are very exciting and why investors are desperate to participate. The issue is there aren't that many products and businesses for them to invest in, and so prices are very high. Everybody thinks that the opportunity in front of them is the one that's going to crack the market.
Robert Larson there. Let's do the numbers. In London, shares of banking giant HSBC are up more than 2.5% after the company reported a 31% jump in first quarter profit as operating costs fell. And fresh fears about oversupply are pushing global oil prices down nearly 1%. To India now, where Pepsi has withdrawn a lawsuit against four farmers it says are growing, without permission, potatoes registered for use only to make Lay's chips. From northeast India and Gujarat, the BBC's Monica Miller has more.
They claimed that these farmers were using a potato variety that PepsiCo had created to make their Lay's potato chips. It's called an FC5. However, the farmers have said that they didn't know the difference. When PepsiCo came in to India, they've been here for about 30 years, but for this particular program, they make these specific potato chips which have less moisture in them compared to like a garden variety. The farmers that they work with have a license to grow these particular potatoes, and they give them a fixed price, which is incredibly attractive to farmers who deal with unpredictable weather patterns, and there are about 24,000 of them.
Okay, so India's in the middle of a six-week general election, and this issue over Pepsi's registered potatoes has highlighted, again, what a huge issue farming and farmers' rights are for voters.
Indeed, the farming business only makes up about 14% of India's GDP, but more than 0.5% of the population, that's 1.3 billion people, work in the agricultural industry. So as the two leading parties are in the midst of an election here, they want to appease the farmers. And so when this hit social media, they were on top of it, calling for boycotts to PepsiCo. The Gujarat government was able to sit down with PepsiCo and explain this. They certainly were not appreciating the bad publicity.
Monica Miller reporting there. Now, elections in India are entering the final 2 weeks. Anu Anand, the regular host of this program, and I are heading there on Tuesday. Tweet us your questions and follow us on the ground on Instagram. We're at Victoria Craig and at BBC Anu Anand. Been a long week? What if it was shorter? Not just by working days, but hours required. The BBC's Manuela Zaragoza has been talking to companies that have already made the change.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So the old proverb goes. But does it also make Jack less productive, more stressed and unhappy? A leading British trade union and some British opposition politicians believe it does. They've called for the working week in the UK to be cut to 4 days from five, without a cut in pay. Some British companies have already taken the plunge. Lorraine Gray is Operations Director at Pursuit Marketing in Glasgow in Scotland. It introduced a four-day working week in 2016.
It's been nothing but positive across the business. You know, from a company perspective, productivity's up. Our sickness rate is practically zero because people are not feeling burnt out. They've got a four-day week. They've got a long weekend to spend some time on themselves, look after themselves.
That's spurred other companies to consider a four-day working week too. The most high profile among them here in the UK is the Wellcome Trust. It's one of the country's leading charities, funding research in a wide array of areas, from biomedicine and population health to social sciences. Businesses watched with interest. The Wellcome Trust had the potential to set an important precedent. Instead, after much research and consultation within and outside the organisation, the charity decided to stick to a five-day week. Ed Whiting, the Wellcome Trust Director of Policy and Chief of Staff, told me why.
We thought, actually, if we were to try this, there's a real risk that some of that core business that we're trying to do, funding all those researchers, tackling those big global problems, we might not be able to do that as effectively because of the disruption that this could cause.
Was it just too expensive as well?
It wasn't cost that drove that decision. I think it's more the time cost, actually, of how you put this all together and make it all work for us as an organisation. Not all jobs are readily sort of movable into a four-day pattern.
Wellcome's conclusions were also borne out by a four-day working week trial in Sweden. A nursing home there dropped the experiment for being too expensive. Ashim Singh, Director of Economy at the Royal Society of Arts Research Group in London, worries about this piecemeal approach to cutting the working week.
The next big set of inequalities that are going to affect the future of work and work is our inequalities of health. And I can definitely see a situation where you have white-collar industries working a four-day week, spending time with their families, really functional social situations, and you have very stressed, very precarious workers at the lower income deciles who are increasingly unhealthy, increasingly sad, and increasingly trapped in this old paradigm.
In London, I'm the BBC's Manuela Zaragoza for Marketplace.
Finally, penny for your thoughts. The UK Treasury decided it's going to keep its 1 and 2 cent coins after finding roughly 2 million people in the country still rely on cash. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.